Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben.
Presented by Brakes Plus. This is a little bit longer one, but let me give it to you here. Robert in Ithaca checking in. Stink, all this baloney about Watson is a waste of time, isn't it? The cost is way out of line to get him or to move up in the draft or to pay what free agents will get. Face it, the best way to build a team is to draft well and get the benefit of the rookie contracts while you add great players. Then you can spend the necessary funds in free agency to make the team better. Stop talking about thinking the Broncos are somehow one player who was 4-12 last year away from being a team that could compete for a Super Bowl. Do you agree with that? By the way, we talked about Pro Football Focus. They came out with their mock draft, and in it they had the Broncos trading for Deshaun Watson, giving up 3 ones and 2 twos.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what they said, the impact of what a Deshaun Watson trade would do. I'll add this on to Robert in Ithaca's question. The Broncos acquiring Watson would have the same impact we saw this past season when Tom Brady signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They'd be Super Bowl contenders right away.
That's a pretty
ballsy statement right there.
And that's the problem that I have with publications and websites like Pro Football Focus. I mean, one, Watson does not have the pelts and the understanding and the just the overall presence that Brady has. And the Broncos roster isn't close to Tampa's roster. If you sit here and tell me that our defensive roster is close to what Tampa's defensive roster is, then one, you're either stupid. Two, you have no idea what you're looking at. Or three, you're just willfully ignorant. Because those two rosters aren't close. And I mean not close to being the same.
Okay, fine, yeah. But if Tampa's roster is indeed that good, then if you're telling me that Deshaun Watson, if he went to Tampa last year, doesn't end up in a Super Bowl, I don't want him here. Not for the cost that, because if I'm going to give up everything I'm giving up for Deshaun Watson, I'm buying into the hype. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. That this guy is a unicorn. This guy is a difference maker. And if you're telling me he doesn't go to Tampa and wins the Super Bowl, that only Brady could have won a Super Bowl with that team, then I don't want him here.
I think he gives them a legitimate chance in Tampa to compete for a Super Bowl. So his skill set is such that I think he does that.
Okay.
I think the difference
Glad
is.
Glad you amended that.
Okay. I think the difference, well, I didn't amend it, and I just said that our roster is not what Tampa's roster. I've had people from, you know, Broncos country here tweet me about our roster's the same as Tampa's roster. You're high. I mean, it's just dumb. But my point is this, is from a talent aspect, does he elevate Tampa Bay into the playoffs and with a chance to win a championship? Yes. The believability that comes with Tom Brady, the confidence he brings to the whole organization, the swagger he brings to the whole organization, and his greatest redeeming quality is his leadership, which is it's crazy because not only does he lead and does he dog cuss guys and does he get the best, but he becomes the guy. He is so entwined. You know, I was told a story just the other day about, you know, somebody rolled in the locker room. It's Friday night, you know, and usually Friday, everybody's hightailing out of there, right? It's Friday night at 7:30 or 6:30 or something. and everybody left it. The practice got over at 1, and everybody was out the door at 1:30. And you know who's in there playing cards with a bunch of guys on the practice squad? Brady.
Really?
Yes. Walk in and just, it's a bunch of no-name players with Brady playing cards. And it's, that's what he does. He loves football, but he loves being a dude. And he wants to connect with everybody in the locker room.
Okay, so he came in and, you don't have to sell me on this, he changed the culture of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers overnight.
100%, and you've seen it.
And I've seen it happen right here with Peyton Manning.
Right.
Okay. Well, if I'm acquiring Deshaun Watson, especially for the price tag it's going to include, I'm expecting him to come in here and change the culture overnight. Am I expecting too much?
Yeah.
Really?
I just think...
Why can't he do it?
I'm not saying that he can't. I'm not saying that he can. Well, I don't...
But you haven't seen anything to this point that would make you think that he would do that here?
He is a great young man. He is a great player. He is a guy for all I know, I did an event with him a year ago or 2 years ago at the Super Bowl. Couldn't have been kinder. He could more gracious to people. He is... That's who he is. That doesn't always translate. We've seen that here, Mike. We saw Peyton Manning and DeMarcus Ware. You would think it would be easy for Von Miller to pick up the leadership, that leadership torch that was taught to him by DeMarcus Ware. Has that happened? Have we seen that transfer?
No.
It's incredibly disappointing
that nobody picked up the mantle. No.
And so what I'm saying is that's one of those things that you either have or you do. I think you can always work on things, but there are certain things that you are just blessed with an ability to do.
And does Mahomes have it?
It.
Yes. I don't think there's any question that Mahomes
It speaks volumes to this team how much heart and determination that we have.
Phenomena.
Okay. Paid off our contract there. So this is interesting.
Uh-huh.
So you think when it comes to I'm going to use a foxism here, lifting all boats. Okay, this is a guy who just comes in. He makes everybody better. He changes the culture. He changes the mindset. Brady did it in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton did it here. Mahomes has done it in Kansas City. He has it. But you don't think Deshaun Watson has it?
I didn't say I don't. I said I don't know.
But I'm just asking you to. First impressions. Look, whenever we have the it debate, it's hard to define. It's just something. It's why it is such a great. He has it. He doesn't have it. I mean, we're talking about it is hard to define, but you just know it when you see it. And I find it interesting that you are hesitating just enough.
Well,
when it comes to whether or not you think Watson has it.
Do I think he has it? Yes, I think, I won't hesitate. I think Watson has it. Does that translate, does it translate to everybody within the organization toeing the line?
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
Right.
That's my definition of what I'm asking here, of it.
Right.
Because Peyton had it, Tom Brady has it, you're saying Mahomes has it, where everybody
Let me ask you this. Does Aaron Rodgers have it?
At time ago, I would have said, yeah. Right now, no.
Does Drew Brees have it?
No. I mean, they had 3 years in which they were 7-9, 8-8. We're talking about something special here. And you're right. We're talking about something that is so unique that to say that, you know, you don't have it, it shouldn't be like some scarlet letter, like, oh, shame on you, you don't have it. I mean, that's unfair. But if we are talking about, if we are talking about, you know, going after Deshaun Watson and really, at least for the short term, mortgaging the future with the idea that, don't worry, the payoff on the other side is so mammoth that it's worth it. Your pause here is
right. Does Russell Wilson have it?
Yeah, I think he does.
Then why would guys criticize him? Why did his defense criticize him? And like, why did he go after his number of hits?
I think that's more a reflection of them.
Of even
the organization.
Well, I don't know. I just.
There is. Yeah. Well, let me back that up. Hold on a second. There is. Russell Wilson, I think, has kind of lost his way a bit. Okay. He had it. How about that? He had it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's got to be questioned right now. And that could be because of, you know, some other factors in his life.
Sure.
Other influences in his life.
Sure. I just think that it's going to be very difficult for anyone to come in here. Now, I think Deshaun Watson automatically gives you excitement, but I mean, think about the fall from being in the divisional round of the playoffs a year ago and having a 20 plus point lead and losing that game to being 4-12. I understand they got rid of his best receiver. I understand all that stuff. But should your drop be that precipitous that you lose your best receiver, and are you raising all boats? If you lose your best receiver and all of a sudden you go down from a playoff team to 4-12? And I know there were other factors in that, Mike, but I still look at like 4-12 is that's a tough pill to swallow.
Well, if you want to, I'll go back and bring up your favorite subject, Tom Brady. You took Tom Brady off that team, and they went 12-4, which still is remarkable. I mean, you want to talk about the idea that
right.
the quarterback can truly make a difference, and why didn't Deshaun Watson make more of a difference with Houston? I mean, New England had nothing his last year, and they had nothing this year, and it showed. They went, 7-9?
Mm-hmm, something like that.
And what, they went 12-4 the year before?
Right.
That's five-game difference right there?
Mm-hmm.
There's a one guy.
I love Tom Brady!
So if Deshaun Watson has it, I'm not saying that they should have been a 10-win team, but should they have been better than 4-12?
Yeah, I would absolutely. But there are a lot of factors in losing. There are a lot of factors. So
look, this is important stuff here, because here's why. You know, and by the way, I'm not even counting the quarterback in Charger land who are still trying to get a grip on what's real and
right.
and what's not, but we'll put him in the incomplete class as of right now. But if you're talking about giving up a king's ransom, for me, it's with the idea that this guy goes toe to toe, not only physical talent, but intangibles, that it factor, mm-hmm. that hop on my back boys, setting an idea for the franchise that everybody follows. I'm counting on the idea that Deshaun Watson goes toe to toe, gives no quarter when it comes to going up against Mahomes. That they're identical.
Okay, let me ask you this. Can we get some efforting music? Can you give me that playoff game between Houston and Kansas City where they had the big lead?
Watch out quickly. I was refreshed over the weekend. My fingers are working quicker.
Oh, your fingers are just extraordinary. Extraordinary.
All right, what do you want to know?
What was the score, and what point of the game was it when they had the big lead? Houston.
Sure. It was 24-0 after a field goal 4 minutes into the second quarter. So about 10 minutes left, almost 11 minutes left on the clock in the second quarter. It was 24-0 Houston.
Okay. With a 24-0 lead.
With still 41 minutes left to play.
If you have it, do you lose that game?
Yeah, it is staggering how.
I mean, I know
you're
they,
right. Houston never. They do kick it back to you, by the way, after the other team scores. You do get a chance to get the ball back.
Right. And I understand answer. They had, you know, Bill O'Brien did some stupid, like the didn't he do a fake punt
yep.
from his own whatever? And he made some really boneheaded coaching decisions. But still, you've got a 24-0 lead. It reminds me of that Cleveland-Pittsburgh playoff game. Was it a playoff game where Cleveland jumped up to a 28-0 lead? I mean, now Pittsburgh crawled back into it, but it wasn't like Cleveland let off the gas. They just kept pouring on points, and eventually, you know, Pittsburgh ran out of time. But you can't have a 24-0 lead and lose a game.
They gave up 41. Let me repeat, 41 unanswered points. And those 41 points came in the span of, well, like I said, they scored the field goal to make it 24-0 with about 11 minutes left in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
They scored the final points of their 41 unanswered with 4:39 left in the third. That's basically 18 minutes of game time.
Right.
18 minutes of game time, they scored 41 points
and oh,
unanswered.
By the way, during that time, I wonder how many three and out, and, I mean, obviously they had a bunch of bad drives. I mean, at some point, you got to put a, you know, a clock-killing drive together and let your defense rest and squelch the uprising. That's your responsibility as the leader of your football team. To put a drive together. And you don't have to score a touchdown, but you damn well better put a 7-minute drive together, a 6-minute drive together, let your defense regroup on the sideline, and come away with 3 points. At some point during that onslaught, that 41-point landslide, you gotta squelch that. Again, is it all on Deshaun? No, it's not. I'm not saying it's all on Deshaun, but it is. He bears some of the responsibility.
So this is from Mac Sixpack. So even with Stink admitting that there are several things that go into losing, still sounds like he's saying 4-12 rests solely on Deshaun Watson.
Absolutely not. Absolutely. There's no. I don't like it when you take what I say and you twist it to create the narrative that you want to hear. It doesn't fall squarely on his shoulders. I think he's exceptional. I think he's an exceptional player. I also think that if you're sitting here comparing our roster to Tampa's roster, you don't understand football. And so then I'll put it to you because I heard Tyler and I heard D-Mac talking about the report in Pro Football Focus. Do you think it is wise in George Payton's first year, based upon what you know about this franchise, what you know about the roster, just your opinion, not mine, your
mm-hmm.
opinion,
mm-hmm.
do you think that it is smart to give up 3 ones and a pair of twos?
If I'm willing to take the long view on this,
mm-hmm.
Here's why I'd be willing to consider it, Mark, is that the age of Watson does come into play here. He is only 25. And I understand the pain that it would go along with giving up that much, but I'm buying into the idea. I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid here of what I'm being told about Watson, that this guy will come in and instantly make what is already on paper with this offense, that this becomes a 27 to 30 point per game offense, which allows you, buys you time to sort of carry the defense, carry along the rest of the football team for a couple of years until you get back to the point where you can build up the rest of the team to be able to compete for a Super Bowl. And at that point, he's 28 years old. And you still got a lot of football left in him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm buying into. I'm buying into the idea. Now, I got to admit, you've kind of set me back here a little bit with you're not. I'm buying into the idea that he's the guy.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not refused, but there's enough reluctance that I'm getting from you that does give me some pause. Because if I'm going to do all this, in my mind, I'm willing to kind of kick the can down the road a couple years, right?
Correct.
With what the payoff is on the other side. And that is a guy that's going to be able to go toe-to-toe with Mahomes, and you're going to win. Because I know D-Mac was on his best behavior yesterday, but sometimes I think what drives me crazy about D-Mac is he has such a low bar set for what a franchise quarterback is. The idea that, well, you know, if he's starting for you and if he's, you know, winning his fair share of games, it shouldn't all be about Super Bowls. Okay, fine, but this is Denver.
Right.
Here's what we know. We know that when you have a great quarterback, Super Bowls follow. And if you're going to give up that kind of king's ransom for Deshaun Watson, it's with the idea you're getting somebody special. So my automatic assumption is you're getting a guy whose expectation is he's going to lead you to Super Bowls. Multiple Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's what I'm signing up for if you're going to do this deal. I'm not just looking to get a guy that, hey, he's my starting quarterback, and I don't have to worry about a starting quarterback anymore, and this is the guy that, you know, we'll win more than we lose. No. You do this deal, it's with the idea that this guy's going to win you Super Bowls.
Right.
And I'm prepared to play the long game, but it's with the idea that on the other end of it, that's what I'm getting, and you're kind of putting a little wrench in that.
I just want people to understand that if you think you're having if you think you're going to trade all that capital away, remember, Brady was a free agent. So just understand that there's a different scale there. They were still able to keep 13 and get Tristan Wirfs, who absolutely changed the fortune of their offensive line. They were able to keep their second rounder and got Antoine Winfield Jr., who honestly probably could have easily been the rookie of the year. They were able to keep those, add those two pieces as rookies and get not good players. I'm talking about Pro Bowl type performance players as rookies. You don't get that. Like, you don't get to add to your football team. So what I'm telling you is it's like this Dan Jacobs piece that I want to attack here in a minute.
Okay.
But it is, you're not going to get that. So adding the quarterback, just understand, for the next several years, you're not going to get to add really good players. And there's a reason that George Payton is here putting that together. Because what you've added in recent years, even though you've added a lot of starters, they're not the quality of Wirfs and Winfield that we just talked about.
Yeah, Mark is peeved at one of our own, the judge, Dan Jacobs. He's going after the judge. He's going after the law. Will the law win? We'll find out next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Now, normally, I have great respect for the law, for authority.
Yes, yes.
Great respect for Dan Jacobs, our resident judge.
They said it us the wrong way.
Right. Well,
yeah. Well, yeah. I was justified in that instance.
We just freaking did that.
It wasn't that. The Huff makes me sound much worse than I really was.
Yeah, the you on the beach trying to give toys to children now, was way worse than that.
Oh, come on.
Hi, is that your daughter?
Yeah.
It was way worse than you yelling at the police.
Yeah, that was...
Let's just move on. Yeah. Yes. No, there's no winning that battle.
There's no winning that battle.
Yeah.
Giving that one up.
Yeah.
So anyway, he wrote something here. The People versus Schlereth and Evans, a verdict is in.
Uh-huh.
We stand accused of crimes against Broncos country for our reckless advocacy of Andy Dalton as the Broncos' top free agent target. Broncos country also alleges that Mark Schlereth's "it's the roster stupid" theory poses a danger to Broncos country as it could leave the team mired in futility for years to come. So we have been found guilty, and the crime, the punishment is we're sentenced to listen to 40 hours of the audiobook D-Mac on Quarterbacks to be served consecutively.
That is the worst punishment in the history
yes.
of punishments.
Come on.
First and foremost, okay, let's just put this out first. Me, if you don't understand sarcasm, there's nothing I can do for you. When you look at the board of the free agent fever board, every free agent I have on there is a quarterback, including Blaine Gabbert, Brian Hoyer, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, and Andy Dalton. So if you don't understand sarcasm, that I am poking fun at D-Mac and his quarterback room theory, then, you know, where we're going to have Drew Lock, we're going to go out and get Jameis Winston, we're going to draft Mac Jones, we're going to, like, if you don't understand the sarcasm behind that, there's not much I can do to help you. On top of that, if you look at my big board of possibilities when it comes to the draft, every person I put on there is, again, a quarterback. So, first off, you need to understand sarcasm. Does Dan come in here at night when he does his show, or does he not? He's in studio. So, first off, you need a lesson in sarcasm. That's the first point here.
Well, he's a judge. They don't have much room for sarcasm.
All right. And then when it comes to the build of the roster stupid theory. So, he goes in, at one point in his career, Mr. Dalton was regarded as a high quality starter, blah, 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 blah. And, I have a fundamental misunderstanding of the value of the quarterback position. I've won 3 Super Bowls. Two of them were with John Elway. And he goes on to say, and I'll paraphrase here, is that, if you look at the majority of the Super Bowl winners, they have some type of Hall of Fame type status quarterback. That's the basic premise, right? So, how many Super Bowls did Jim Kelly have? How many did he win?
0.
How about Dan Marino?
0.
Well, Phillip Rivers, and he won a bunch.
No.
Dan Fouts?
No.
Warren Moon?
None.
Okay. So the premise is you can be a Hall of Fame quarterback. Yes. Most of the teams that win the Super Bowl have a really good quarterback. I understand that. But they also have been blessed with a really good roster. And you have to understand the importance of building a roster. So I keep getting people that say, well, Mahomes changed the situation in Kansas City. Really? Because they got, in 2012, they drafted Fisher. They went out and signed Mitchell Schwartz. They drafted Travis Kelce a couple years later in 16. In the 5th round, they got, you know, Tyreek Hill. They got, like, that roster was pretty well constructed on the offensive side of the ball when Patrick Mahomes took over. When you look at the Buffalo Bills, from the time that Sean McDermott got there, it's not just drafting starters. It's drafting difference makers. So you go back to 2017 where they got Tre'Davious White, who's an all pro player. You know, they got starters. They got Milano in the draft. They ended up getting Edmonds in the draft. They ended up getting, like, these guys are not only starters, but they're Pro Bowl type of star. Dawkins in the draft. They got their the Ford in the draft. They're really good players. You know, they go in and they support that roster. Dawson Knox, the tight end, they got him in the draft. Like, in 2018, they got a bunch. Yes, they went out and got themselves the quarterback in 2018. Remember, they did go to the playoffs without that quarterback. Right? In 2017, didn't they go to the playoffs as a 9-7 team? So you have to look at how that roster was constructed. And it's not enough to say, hey, you know, in 2019 or 2020, we got a bunch of starters that we drafted. There's a... Josie Jewell starting for us? Then you just don't understand football. You don't understand it.
Yeah, the line here that he writes, outside of a handful of exceptions, nearly all modern era NFL champions have elite level quarterback play. Yes, and two of those exceptions were here. Look, when the Broncos won their Super Bowls, they did not have elite level quarterback play. John wasn't an elite quarterback at that point in his career. Peyton Manning was not elite the year that they won the Super Bowl. At one point, he was pulled with 9 touchdowns and 17 picks. The Bronco country, when you look at the 3 Super Bowls that you've been able to enjoy, you understand they were all a result of roster building.
Correct.
I mean, they did not have elite quarterback play start to finish the years they won Super Bowls.
No. When John was an elite dragging teams to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
With substandard rosters. What happened in all those Super Bowls? Do you remember the Giants one? How about the Washington one? Do you remember that one? Like, do you remember the San Francisco one? What was that one? 55 to...
Now you're just piling on. Point made.
But the point is, John wasn't terrible. John is one of the greatest of all time. The point being is that a great quarterback may, like, how many has Aaron Rodgers won where he's been an elite quarterback? How many has he won? One? Has he been elite the last several years? 2018, I think he went 6-9-1, started all 16 games. He's been an elite quarterback, guys. You have to have a great roster as well.
Here's the other part of Jacob's case against us. Quote, advocating that the Broncos can build with no sense of urgency in addressing the quarterback is irresponsible. Oh, at no point does he give his plan, by the way. I'm not asking the Broncos not to have a sense of urgency when it comes to addressing the quarterback position, but what define your sense of urgency? What is that?
Right.
Is that going after Deshaun Watson? Sure. I don't think anybody has a problem with not trying to do that. But short of that, show me your move. What, drafting a quarterback at number 9 shows you we're urgent. We're urgent.
Right.
We're trying to tap into a model that we're over an 8-year stretch. None of the quarterbacks drafted in the first round are still with the team that drafted them. But we're showing we're urgent.
Right.
We're showing our urgency. Oh, I mean, come on.
I mean,
and by the way, what's to say that? Now, I guess he's completely given up on the idea of Drew Lock improving.
Right.
He's totally written that off. Now, I guess if you've written that off, if you have written Drew Lock off, which, by the way, he hasn't said this in his case against us. I wish he would, because if you've written Drew Lock off, then yeah, fine. That's your opinion. You're entitled to it. And your opinion is they should start all over at the quarterback position. Okay, that's fine.
And I'm not.
But state it.
I'm not against, as you know, I am not against Deshaun Watson. I love Deshaun Watson. But at some point, you got to draw a line in the sand, and you got to figure out what that value is. So there's responsibility, and you have to take some of it when you're trying to build a football team.
Okay, a lot of reaction to that coming in. We'll get to some of your texts on that. And I know, you're trying to help out. Don't worry, we haven't forgotten. It's next. A lot of pushback, Mark. You're getting a lot of pushback.
On what?
The idea that Deshaun Watson doesn't have it.
Well, I mean...
And by right. it, for those who are just tuning in, that you look at guys like Manning, what he did here. Brady, the impact he had in Tampa. Mahomes, what he's done with Kansas City. You just don't see him coming in here and just, I guess, instantly transforming the culture of the Denver Broncos.
Did he do it? Did he do it in Houston?
No, but you have people lining up for all the reasons why. Bill O'Brien's a terrible coach.
Okay.
Defense didn't do any favors. Dysfunctional franchise.
Yeah, good, because Denver's been so functional the last 5 years.
No, that's not the point.
Oh, okay. So that franchise is dysfunctional, but we've gone through what? Kubiak, Vance Joseph, now Fangio, Rick Dennison, coordinator, Mike McCoy, Bill Musgrave, Wrinkles, Pat Shurmur. Yeah, we're the picture of functionality.
But we're not as dysfunctional as them. And we're in the process of fixing that. New general manager, probably new ownership. A new day is dawning.
It's always easier to point the finger than to pull the thumb, right? It's always easier to point at somebody else's dysfunction and go, hey, you know, I may be a cheating son of a gun, but at least I'm not as bad as that guy. Come on now. I mean, hey, listen, I am telling you that I think Deshaun Watson is one of the great young players in this league, not only from a physical standpoint and his physical tools and all his attributes and his intelligence and all those things, but as a person. I think he's great.
Okay, so where's the but in all this?
Well, I guess...
I mean, there's a... Because I know that there's a point where you're, like, fine with giving up a significant amount for him.
Sure, yeah. I think my biggest point that I want to... Like, I always feel like it's my responsibility to be honest with you guys. That's my responsibility. And there is a point where I would look at a deal and say, can we truly afford to go down that road? What I'm telling you is if you take Deshaun Watson as the roster is currently constructed, this is not a playoff team. Why do you think John Elway left? Why do you think he's no longer the general manager? Honestly, why do you think the Broncos put the picture up yesterday or 2 days ago of George Payton being there at 4:50 a.m. to go to work?
Yeah.
Because they basically said, what we've been doing hasn't worked. That's what that picture tells you. You don't have to say anything. There's a new sheriff in town, and you've got to build a roster that's competitive. So what I'm telling you is you give away everything for Deshaun Watson, it doesn't put you in the playoffs, regardless of what Pro Football Focus says. If they're comparing Tampa's roster to our roster, then they don't know what they're looking at. Sorry. If you think Lavonte David and Devin White are the same as Josie Jewell and Alexander, you don't understand football.
Okay, and I'm not arguing
so
with
that's
that.
All I'm,
I'm not,
that's
I know,
all, okay, all but, I'm but, saying is temper your expectations, because it's going to take a while.
But if you give up that King's Ransom for Deshaun Watson,
okay.
And let's say you're basically acknowledging, hey, we're willing to kick the can down the road for 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm.
But hey, even by that point, he's still only 28, 29 years old, well in the prime of his career, will more than make up for it on the back end of that. under that scenario, is it worth it?
Okay, well, I would ask you, under that scenario, how long do you think it'll take? Because remember, all right, by the time he's 28, 29, you've given away all your first and second rounders. Mm-hmm. Okay, so by the time you get to 28, 29, you're hoping to land and hit on Pro Bowl type players. I'm not talking about starters. I'm talking about difference makers. You're hoping that you can hit on a few of those with third, fourth, and fifth and sixth rounders, right? Because you can get starters, Mike, but are they difference-making starters? Are they elite-level players? So what if it's 3 years without any real picks in the first and second round, and you've built your own? Now it's saying, now we've got to get difference-makers.
No, I'm
like, how long does it take?
Well, no, here's the scenario I'm willing to sign up for. This guy comes in, he takes what they have already in place on paper on offense.
Mm-hmm.
He instantly changes this into a 27 to 30 point per game offense. And in the meantime, George Payton lives up to that Minnesota model, along with him and Rick Spielman, of being able to go out and find really good players, starters in the third, fourth, fifth round. And a combination of the two
mm-hmm.
makes you an instant contender. And then down the road, once you get those first-round picks and second-round picks back again, then you're able to augment that with the kind of difference makers that put you over the top to win a Super Bowl. And look, I would not go out and try to trade for Deshaun Watson with the idea that he has to. The expectation instantly is to deliver multiple Super Bowl wins. But if I'm going to go out after this guy with the idea that he is worth that kind of asking price, and maybe even more in the minds of many, come on. I'm not doing that just to get a guy that's going to start for me and maybe average 10 wins a season. I'm going to do it with the idea that this guy is going to push, pull, right, or drag my team to multiple AFC championship games, and yes, to at least a couple of Super Bowls, and better damn well win one of them. Yeah. Mm. For all that? Darn right, that would be what the expectation would be. So
let me just throw this at you.
If he can deliver that, then it's worth it.
Impact players on the roster of the Minnesota Vikings. Justin Jefferson, first rounder. Garrett Bradbury, their center, who's a good player, first rounder. Brian O'Neill, second rounder. Ezra Cleveland, second rounder. Kyle Rudolph, second rounder. Anthony Barr, first rounder. Eric Kendricks, second rounder. Mike Hughes, their starting corner, first rounder. Harrison Smith, first rounder. Jeff Gadney, first rounder.
A lot of first and second round picks.
Oh, all right. Well,
I know.
But that's where
I know
they've made the majority of their impact.
I'm telling you, I'm ready to kick the can down the road a little bit.
Okay.
If the payoff is going to be on the other end, I'll take it. But that's what I'm expecting the payoff to be.
I think that,
and in the short term, I'm expecting him to come in here and average, you know, 27, 30 points per
game. And all I'm saying is, curb your enthusiasm.
Okay,
it's going to take a little bit of time.
I always enjoy when people text us. You can tell they're kind of
frantic.
Not frantic. They're listening to the show. They're catching up from like behind. You know, like they're listening to the podcast, like the hour behind. So they're like an hour behind. So this comes in from Chris in Littleton. Guys, I'm listening to Mark talk about how many Hall of Famers could have been if only they were in the right system. I'm convinced it was the system that held back Paxton Lynch. To the D-Max and the James Marilats of the world.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that held back Tim Tebow from winning multiple Super Bowls at Denver was you didn't commit to the system. And according to Marilat, if only pay no attention to the work ethic or the want to.
Right.
If only they had just let Paxton be Paxton, things would have been fine.
He's a tall guy. If they would have just implemented Madden 2017 offense, he would have been awesome.
Okay.
Just the Madden game. All right.
So we extend that. What day are we at? 2144 of the Paxton Lynch smear campaign. It rolls on. Sandy and the Big O rolling on. They're coming your way next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.